Hello and welcome back, everyone, to Up the Poshcast. Peterborough United won 6-1 against Wigan Athletic in a day that saw Kyron Lisby get his first senior hat-trick, his second of the season, and also a young academy player get his first goal for the club. Today I was joined by Ashley, Chelsea, Lods. I'm Harry. We went through the whole game, every player and the performances they put in, which was, needless to say, highly positive for pretty much everybody. We also talked about what Matty Garbutt's injury might mean for us going forward and how much we can cope without him. And finally, we discussed some of the unsavoury scenes at the back of the GH display today and the contrast between what the blue section are trying to do and the back wall pounders at the back who appear to have caused some criminal damage to some of the seats are trying to achieve and what those kind of actions could mean for us securing season tickets GH display next season. We hope you enjoy it. Please like, subscribe and comment. And yeah, let's get into it. Enjoy the episode. All right, Peterborough United 6, Wigan Athletic 1. Put them to the sword today, didn't we, Charlie?
We did indeed. What a great performance at home. I just love watching Posh in full flow like that. Just felt like, well, from 10 minutes in, it was our game today. Lisby coming out of the, flying out of the blocks, linking up with Tom Lees. And yeah, it was just a fantastic afternoon. Really enjoyable at London Road. It sounded like a great atmosphere. And it's just one of those days that, you know, we've been hoping for. Dara's been saying for a while that, you know, we're going to murder a team at some point. We're going to absolutely kill someone. And we've just not really got there yet. And today we got there and we could have had more, to be honest. We've missed some chances, but wow, just a fantastic performance all round. And Kyron Lisby, Harry Leonard, Jimmy J Morgan, even Kean Hayes, that front four were just lethal. It was like watching Posh of old and brilliant, brilliant to see.
Yeah, agreed. I think it was just a day where there was an opportunity to take advantage of a team that was low on confidence, and we did it. And often we don't. We will often make errors against the teams that are out of form or that need to break a losing cycle. And today, we kept to what would be the expected script. I'm sure the betting odds before the game were in our favour, and we actually kept to them. Yeah. Really, really love to see it. And it wasn't perfect either, because we're only 2-1 up at one point and it was looking like we could potentially go back to 2-2, but we stuck with it and put them to the sword. Really, really good from start to finish, to be honest.
Yeah, I think that might be one of the best performances we've had in recent years. Certainly up there with like the Cambridge games. Ashley said yesterday on Countdown to Kickoff about how important scoring the early goal is. All of our best games under Williams, we scored an early goal. And as soon as we got that first, it just, I don't know, the whole atmosphere in the stadium changed, didn't it? And everything just looked like it was only going to go one way. It's weird as well, because I think it's easy to come on here and say that Wigan were rubbish, but I don't think that they were like one of the worst teams we've played. I know they were bad, but they weren't horrific. I don't think the 6-1 scoreline is a reflection on their performance. If you look at the stats, they're actually quite even in terms of shots. And I think there's going to be a lot of people out there that when the lineup was announced and Matt Garbutt was missing and Donny O'Brien Brady was starting, there was going to be some question marks, but everything clicked today. And what a fantastic performance from start to finish. Really, really enjoyable.
And Wigan, part of the problem, I think, with them, they looked like individuals at times where they're just trying to do their individual job. And when you're focused so hard, at most trying to not make an error, the team cohesion can just fall apart. If all you care about is just not being the one to make a mistake.
Yeah, Lodge, you might not want to say that Wigan were crap, but I will. What a delight that we've been ourselves on the back of some bad performances where we've not got absolutely battered, but it's felt like we should have done better. And it's a bad time to be a Wigan fan, isn't it? We had Barry on Friday night. Harry, you obviously went on their podcast as well. And they said that there wasn't a great deal of positivity going around at the moment. And today just massively summed that up, didn't it? And I think that when it was very clear to see what was going to happen from early on. And we were making passes. We were passing the ball around lovely. And we were just cutting them open from the start. There was a few occasions where Xhaka looked like he was going to fall over. And they've made subs. Was it one or two? I can't remember. After 28 minutes. I don't think that was an injury, was it? So, look, I think that says everything. When they're changing their system after 28 minutes, you know that you're doing something right. And Luke Williams got it massively right today. And, Wigan were crap.
Yeah, I've never been more sort of perplexed by an opposition game plan than I was today by Wigan. Like, it felt like they just played into our hands completely. They gave us so much space out wide for Hayes and Lisby. They, you know, just didn't really focus on pressing us high up the pitch. You know, you saw loads of times where Donne and Archie Collins had so much space and we could just get that ball, recycle it out wide. And we've actually really struggled when teams have really stuck it on us. You know, Plymouth, Huddersfield last week, they really pressed up high up the pitch. And I don't understand why Ryan Lowe, who may not be even Wigan manager anymore by the time we release this episode, but I don't understand why he's not tried to replicate that, because we've seen it so many times this season where teams have come and sit back, we've really picked them off. You know, I remember Wimbledon, which was one of Williams's first games, they employed a similar game plan and just got absolutely tore apart. And for me, it just seems like they got it wrong from the first minute. And fair play to Luke Williams, because he spotted that and he got it right. And we scored early goals, had a really strong foothold in the game. We had a bit of a wobble. Fair play to Ryan Lowe. The system change worked temporarily. But as soon as we got our head back around the game and back around where we could hurt them, it was just like an onslaught from us, really. And, you know, we hit the bar. We had a couple of other massive chances. Wigan genuinely were lucky it wasn't double figures today.
Yeah, going on the Wigan podcast earlier this week, as I understand it, Ryan Lowe actually believes in a back five, but went against his principles for the start today and started with a back four. And then they were 2-0 down and he goes back to this ridiculous system where they have three centre-backs and wingers playing as wing-backs. And I think we've been there ourselves at one point. We're trying to have Kean Hayes as a left wing-back, for example. It just doesn't work. To have a five-back system, you have to have, PK is about as aggressive as you can get with a wing-back. They need to have defensive solidity, right? And if you're just playing wingers who have never played defensively as wing-backs, it is never, ever going to work, especially when you're going up against two out-and-out wingers like we had today in Hayes and Lisby, and then later Frith. It wasn't the system that was the problem. It wasn't that it was four at the back or five at the back at the issue. It was just that, I agree, they sat way too deep. We are there, you know, there is opportunities against us if you press our back line, and they missed that opportunity today. They clearly didn't watch any of the highlights from the Plymouth or Huddersfield games.
Yeah, it's really interesting to me when we get the guests on for Countdown to Kickoff, just seeing how they feel about their team and their manager at that moment in time, because I don't pay attention to a lot of the other fan bases in the league. We've had some negative fans on before, but Barry really said that the fan base were against their manager at the moment. And there was a few things that happened in that away end today that I've just never seen before. Firstly, there was a kid wearing full goalkeeper kit, including the gloves, which I've never seen before. But the main thing was when we scored our second goal, their whole away end just turned to face the manager. It was like they all knew who was at fault. And they're all just like, what are you doing? And like what you guys have said, like there was moments where they should be pressing us. Like we're winning, we're knocking it around the back and they're not even coming at us. Like they just give up halfway through. And I think it was a bit of a tell at the end of the game. All their players were on the pitch. You could see their fans, the ones that stayed, were sort of beckoning the players over. Manager, nowhere to be seen. The players eventually got together and walked over to the fans. And that actually was a bit of a nice moment. They clapped each other, the fans that stayed, but the manager nowhere to be seen. So I think for Wigan, any Wigan fans listening, I think they probably got what they wanted. I imagine that Ryan Lowe has been sacked before this episode gets released, and it sounds like they are actually behind the players, so maybe they'll turn it around before the end of the season.
Yeah, I think we saw it, didn't we, like right towards the end of Fergie's stint, is that players just weren't doing what the manager wants because they've just completely lost faith. And I think that there's no way that Ryan Lowe's not told them to press our defence, but the players have just gone, well, sod this. We've got a chance to freshen it up and get a new manager in. And, you know, it was it was a delight for us. We had all the time on the ball that we wanted. It meant that we could make our passes and pass the ball around. But yeah, I think that Wigan's day was summed up by them putting a tweet out for their sixth goal and them naming it as, or our sixth goal, as Kyrese Lisby scoring. You know, we're always quick to call out Posh's social media mistakes, and it would be remiss of me not to call out Wigan's. And I think that they've not tweeted now in 2 hours. So, yeah, I think the next one that we get is probably going to be a club statement with, fingers crossed, a corner flag on it.
Yeah, well, I'm going to move us away from Wigan because I feel like we've hammered them enough in the podcast so far. And I'm going to go back to all things Posh. And one of the big positives before the game even started today, and that was seeing Big Dave back on the team sheet. How nice is it to have a Kagwe back? We feel like we've missed him significantly over the, you know, January, and he was so good for us over the Christmas period. And seeing him back in the team was just fantastic. And I thought, well, you know, there are a couple of hairy moments for him on his return. Maybe a penalty should have been given against him, but we'll skip past that. I thought he was exactly what you expect from Big Dave, which was aerially dominant, very solid in the centre-back partnership with Tom Lees, was trying to do some really progressive things with the ball. I actually applauded in my uni accommodation when he played this one pass through the middle of midfield. He literally split it, and it was right in front of Jimmy J. Morgan for him to run onto in the first half. It was literally a perfect pass from defence, really ambitious, fantastic from him. And yeah, I thought he grew into the game. And when we've got three away games now coming up in the next 7 days, having a battler, because that is what a Kagwe is above all, above a good ball player, that guy loves a battle. And having him back in the side is only going to help. And I felt like his battling qualities in the centre of defence really helped us today.
Yeah, I think Big Dave is one of my favourite players. I was so happy to see him on the team sheet starting. It was a bit of a surprise. I know there was news from the club that he was going to be back for this game, but I thought he might start on the bench. But he didn't look out of place, did he? He didn't look like he's just come back from an injury. I know we subbed him off right at the end of the game, but I think he could have easily played 90. We could have brought him off sooner if we thought it was going to be an issue. But for whatever reason, we kept him on for 85 minutes and took him off. But yeah, I 100% agree, Charlie. He gives us something that the other defenders don't. Like that pace that he has just allows everyone to play a little bit higher because he's able to recover. He's able to track back. Just when you think that the striker or the winger's through on goal, there's Big Dave making those diagonal runs backwards and clatters them. Happened quite a lot of times. I do think that some of his passes, especially in the first half, were a bit wayward. He was never the best before his injury, and he was always going to be rusty coming back. So I don't want to knock him too much for that. But certainly all of the defensive work he did, barring perhaps a penalty appeal in the first half as well, everything else was just absolutely spot on.
Yeah, Lonzo, I'm going to be honest with you. I can't remember exactly what you said. So if I quote you incorrectly, then I apologise. But you said something along the lines of it was like he'd never been gone. I actually think that he had some serious ring rust to start the game off today. And there was two relatively simple passes that went astray. And it was kind of like, oh no, it's like, if you remember back to when September was around and he was playing there and he looked a little bit shaky on the ball. I was like, oh, I hope we've not gone back to that. And that we're going to get him towards the December Dave, who was spraying passes across the pitch. And, you know, like that was that. But yes, I agree. As the game went on, he settled into the position. And there's always going to be nerves when you're, what, a 22-year-old defender coming back into a team? We'd not won at home in the last two games. So I can understand that. And I think that his second half performance, he was aerially dominant. He passed the ball when he needed to. So no complaints from me, but there was definitely some ring rust to start the game on for Dave for me.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ashley. I would like to, because Lees is going to get all the credit for his involvement. I'm sure we'll get on to him, but I think it was a subtly very good performance from James Dornelli, who I think often gets less praise than he should because he is an academy player. And I think we would judge him a bit differently if we had signed him and we were asking ourselves, right, okay, this signing, how have they done today? Because we're always in need of good fullbacks. And if he'd been a player who'd come in and performed like he did today, we'd have said, that was great. He consistently defended really well. Decision-making was perfect whenever it was build-up for trying to get it out. He didn't complete every pass, but I'm really impressed with how much he's improved his positioning out of possession when the ball's come in from the wings, and then also how measured he is going forward. He had a really nice pass a few games ago out to Hayes, which led to a cross, and I forget exactly when that was. But today, again, he was involved in the build-up for the first goal before it went from Hayes to Tom Lees to Lisby. Just deserves credit. I think he's one that could have easily gone under the radar today.
Yeah, he's so mature for a young player, James Donnelly, like a really intelligent guy. And you can tell that. And he's a quick learner as well, in the sense that, you know, we see him taken out of the team for a month or two, and then he always comes back. And I'm trying to remember, I don't think there's any times in his Posh career where he's been taken out and come back and not been better than the time before. He's been a very steady improver, James Donnelly. And that's what you want to see from a young player, really. A lot of young players can be quite erratic. Sometimes they'll come in and look incredible, and then they'll have a dodgy game. Whereas it has been a case of steady improvement for him. And I think I agree with you, Harry. His defensive positioning has got so much better. It's chalk and cheese to, you know, that dodgy spell he had last season. And just everything about his game is looking a lot more senior. I really enjoy James Donnelly. And I agree with you. If he was a new signing, I think we'd all be really praising him. But the fact that he's come in to the team and from the academy and could be our next pure profit sale. You know, we supposedly had bids from Premier League clubs for him last summer. That might be the same this summer. He might be our next pure profit one. And if he is, I think it'll be deserved, because I'm really enjoying watching him play at the moment.
Yeah, look, I feel like I'm in a massively negative mood today. I don't know why. We've just won 6-1. I think that the only thing that James Donnelly, and he was very bad at this when he was first in the team, was his dealing with a back post cross when it was coming in from the left back, and he was then obviously at right back. So he was very poor at that. I think that there was a couple of occasions today where he just sort of felt like, I just wanted to scream at it, just deal with it, rather than letting it bounce to the box. I saw it. It was right there in front of us in the GH. Like, the occasions were there, and it's just like, just put it out for a corner. Like, we've said it time and time again, and I think that probably links us well to the next player that I would like to talk about in CJ, because we've conceded because he's just not cleared it. Same as last week, Tom Lees didn't clear it. So just get rid of the ball. Like, it's just simple as that. And I thought that we were bang to rights for a clean sheet today, but yeah, it wasn't to be. So disappointing, but look, as I said, I don't want to be negative, because we've won 6-1, but on another day, we could have been punished for certainly some of those mistakes we made. And we were punished for one of them. CJ didn't clear the ball and we conceded, and it was 2-1. And like Harry mentioned earlier, it could have very easily come back to 2-2 and bite us on the arse.
Yeah, agree. We shouldn't shirk away from it, because, yeah, on another day, that had the potential to completely derail us. It's really surprising from a player who's so senior that he thought he could turn out when he's under that level of pressure, literally facing the London Road end, and turn out within your own box. Decision-making's baffling there. We're lucky to get away with it, to be honest. And I thought CJ was fine outside of that, but probably the least impressive of the defenders today. I'm glad that, you know, and whenever we win 6-1, we're never going to be hammering anybody. There is no one who dropped a stinker or any kind of clippable descriptor. But it was just, you know, even outside of the mistake, I probably would have still had him on a 6. He was fine, but there's definitely other defenders who deserve big plaudits today.
Yeah, should we talk about the main one that deserves the plaudits? Tom Lees, who has done everything he's been praised for recently. All of the defending at the back, all of the calm, the composure, heading everything away, not letting anything past him. But then also, for some reason, turned into Ronaldo or some other fancy Premier League winger by crossing in the ball for the first goal. What a pass that was. We're begging players like Ian Hayes to improve his end product, to put in balls like that. And Tom Lees, the grand age of 35 playing centre-back, has managed to do it. We've gambled with putting players into the box and Kyle Lisby's there to finish it. And then on top of that, he goes and gets another assist. I think that the cross from Ian Hayes might have been a little bit overhit, but he was able to assess where everyone was and just nodded it into the danger area. And I said to Ashley, we seem to be scoring a lot of headers recently. And Ashley made the point that they've all had an average distance from goal of about 1 yard. So both of our headers were basically a yard out, weren't they? But it's how you get the ball into those areas. And I think Tom Lees, of all people, has done a great job doing that today.
Yeah, I love Tom Lees. He's been so good for us. Like, I was just looking earlier, and the amount of full 90s he's played for a guy that, you know, was supposedly going to be such a big injury risk, crazy. He is such a great athlete and a great leader. And that was the most we've seen him sort of let loose in an attacking sense as well. It's, I mean, a perfect cross. Literally, we've been begging for our wingers to do that all season, what Lees did in the opening minutes of the game today. Just flashes it across the face of goal. It's in that corridor of uncertainty, isn't it, where the goalkeeper can't come and get it, but it's in behind those defenders. It's perfect. And then, you know, I'm sure we'll touch on him in a more detailed sense, but Lisby completely reads it and gets in there and finishes. And then the second one as well, we've been talking about how poor we've been from set pieces, and I know it wasn't, you know, the traditional ball into the box and then heading it into the goal, but that did come from a free kick, you know, about halfway up their half, the goal, and Hayes beat his man. It was clearly something that had been worked on, put it in, Lees at the back stick, flicks it across, and then a relatively simple finish for Lisby. And he just does all of the simple things well, Tom Lees. But I'm starting to feel like that's maybe really not even a fair way to describe him, because he's doing some really advanced things as well. Like that run that he made today, very advanced. Some of the defensive positioning he's using is like top level centre back play. He just really is a classy act, and he never fails to impress me. And when you don't think he could get any better, and when you think, okay, this is his level, you know, he's a very solid defender, he puts in a performance today and you're thinking, wow, what have we signed here? This is, how have we managed to get this guy for free on a, you know, relatively low-key transfer? It's crazy. I can't believe all of the other teams in League One that have had defensive issues this season weren't absolutely, you know, going all out to sign him.
There was a moment as well, wasn't there, where he got some sort of injury. I don't know if someone had elbowed him or what had happened. I thought he might have like hit his lip, like his tooth had gone through his lip or something. He'd gone off the pitch, he'd come back on, and then it was
he went for a head of a Sadie and hit the back of Sadie's head.
Yeah, see that. But to go off the pitch and come back on and just like carry on heading the balls like as if nothing's happened, he's an absolute warrior, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Now, I am going to take my moment here, because everyone knows who listens to the pod regularly, I love Kean Hayes. And we're obviously going to get on to Lisby and his impact today. But I'm going to take my moment to say that was a fantastic performance by Hayes, who had the two pre-assists for Lees early on. The first of which, lovely subtle nutmeg into the channel, which we've all said, one of Kean Hayes's limitations is his passing. Absolutely perfect. Said an occasion, his crosses can be a bit poor. Well, for the second goal, it was an absolutely delightful cross over the top. And he was consistently really good all day, until he came off. That level of performance, if he could just keep to that standard, it would be enough to be part of a playoff run team, I think. And we need the consistency off the back of a performance like that, which will go under the radar as well, because he wasn't on the score sheet and he didn't get the assist directly. Those of us who watch the games regularly know that was a top-level Hayes performance, and he's capable of keeping that up if he concentrates and works on everything outside of his dribbling.
Yeah, I like Kean Hayes. It was a good performance on the wing, but unfortunately for him, well, unfortunately for the team, he was overshadowed today by the opposite winger, Cairo Lisby. Wow, what a performance. It is. I gave him a 10 out of 10 on the player ratings, because I thought it was a pretty much perfect winger performance that you want from a posh winger. Clinical when he needed to be, threatening. And I think the timing of his goals today, of his hat trick, is one of the best things to see. He scored two goals in the first 10 minutes, and then he had to wait until the 90th minute to get his third goal. And he just didn't stop. He carried on the entire time. Brilliant to see him in there. He's becoming so likable. We talk about him pretty much every week in a positive sense now, because he's just, you know, the next one off the production line, potentially. We all talk about Harry Leonard. Cairo Lisby has now joined him for goals. We'll make a lot more profit on Lisby than we will on Leonard. It's just great to see. Luke Williams has said hands off about Cairo Lisby. I'm, you know, thinking the same thing. We're going to have to fight some serious interest in the summer. Lisby was apparently asked in his post-match interview today about the prospect of his twin brother joining him in the summer, Kyrese. And he said, well, I don't want to get myself in trouble, but we'll see what happens in the summer. So we could have a 26-27 season of Lisby's running down both wings, making the Borough sing. I'm all here for it. What a fantastic performance. And I'm just loving watching this guy play for Peterborough United at the minute. He loves it. You can tell that. That picture of him, you know, the Hudson Holmes photo of the match, of him sat in front of all the fans with his match ball, giving it the three, is brilliant. Yeah, Cairo Lisby. Fair play. What a player he's turning into.
Yeah, I'm going to struggle finding anything more to say on that, Charlie. We've been singing his praises for basically the whole season now, haven't we? I think he's easily our most productive player. He's the player that might not be the most talented, but certainly the one that we use for pretty much every attacking output that we try and play through. His goals were taken brilliantly. He was doing well on the left wing. He got moved over to the right. He did well there. He was playing down the middle. I know he got his two goals early, and there was a comment made in Williams' interview about him chasing the hat-trick. I don't think he came across as chasing a hat-trick. Normally, when a player's chasing a hat-trick, they're a bit greedy. They hold on to the ball. They shoot from anywhere. Lisby didn't do any of that. I actually don't remember him really having a chance at goal until the very end. But he was doing all of the things that Cairo Lisby also does really well, which is all the shithousing stuff, the winning the free kicks and, you know, rattling their players. There was one bad tackle that he put in, but he managed to get their player booked at the same time. And there was probably, if we're going to take his, I didn't give him a 10 out of 10. I gave him a nine and a half. And the reason for that is just that very first chance that we had in the first minute, he snatched at it on his weaker foot. He probably could have put on his stronger foot and played it across goal. But yeah, absolutely perfect. He's going home with a match ball, a bottle of champagne for winning player of the match, a bottle of champagne for winning player of the month. He's probably going to have about 15 bottles of champagne by the end of this season. He's also put on his Instagram first senior hat trick. If I was him, I'd be claiming the one against Villa under 21s as well. It counts.
Yeah. It was great. I didn't quite give him a perfect performance either because of the fact he also gave away a really silly yellow, which was totally unnecessary in the context of the game and also the context of where it was on the pitch. It wasn't to stop a threatening attack, but really good. And one quality I think that's worth recognising, you mentioned how he wasn't snatching for the hat-trick. He was just so disciplined. The first goal came about because he was focused, laser focused on not being offside, and then timed his run absolutely perfectly, getting on the inside of the man. And the second one, again, positioning yourself somewhere that you can be available for, in case the ball comes back in. Again, brilliant. And also, again, third goal, making sure he was onside, a little bit of a lucky bounce off Frith's back heel into his path, buried it really nicely. Very well done. I'm just going to say one final thing on this. And I genuinely, you know, people will probably think this is for clips or whatever. Darren McAntony deserves massive credit for once again finding a gem from non-league. Cairo Lisby cost, apparently, less than 100 grand. And he is probably worth right now millions. He's on a 4-year deal plus an option. Anyone trying to take him off, or is it a 5-year?
No, it's 3+1. I got it wrong in the group.
So he's on a 3+1. Anyone wanting him in the summer is going to have to pay literally 5 million for him. And it's going to be the same story the summer after that as well, because we've got that option. We should not discount how difficult it is to spot players at that level, thinking how can they translate into the Football League? Because he was decent for Braintree, but he wasn't. You know, Chris Conn-Clark was the one who was the obvious National League prospect because, of course, he was player of the season, one of the top goal scorers. Lisby is a true gem, just like Ephraim Mason-Clark was. And we've done it again and again and again in the McAntony era. And we should give him props for that.
Yeah. And do you know what? I've said it before and I will say it again. Lisby has that ability to be in the right place at the right time. And I'm sure I said it on yesterday night, Friday night, on Countdown to Kickoff. You can't teach that. He's always there. He's always in the right place. He may not always get it right, But whether it's his runs or his movement and or he's in the right place in front of the goal, I love watching Kyrie Lisby play. He's very exciting, and he is what we love at Posh, isn't he? He is a bums off of seats player. He makes you want to support the team. I'm going to say it. He loves playing for Peterborough United, and I hope that he will love playing for Peterborough United with his brother next season, because that is something that excites me. Just, can you imagine just like confusing defenders? Like, they don't know which one they're marking. Like, is he going to go this way? Is he going to go that way? It could be absolute carnage at London Road next season. And who knows, those two could be the two that get us promoted.
Yeah, the idea of having twin brothers on either wing, it's just, I cannot describe how exciting that is to me. It's just, it's football heritage. I wanted to touch on someone else who I thought had their best game in a Peterborough United shirt today, and that was Jimmy J Morgan. I thought it was a fantastic performance from him. Got his goal, pouncing off a direct ball basically over the top. That takes his shots on target to 7 and his goals to 6, I think, based on the stat that Lods gave in the midweek episode. So 6 out of 7 for Jimmy J Morgan is very decent. And his all-round game was brilliant as well. I thought his assist for Harry Leonard deserves a lot of credit as well, because he got the ball out wide and he sort of brought it closer into goal. And then there was an opportunity to cross the ball, but it may have been deflected off the defender. So instead, he sort of did a little shimmy, faked it, and then crossed it in towards the back post. And there was a header from Harry Leonard into the back of the net that he just couldn't miss. I thought we've sometimes criticised Jimmy J for looking a bit lightweight and sometimes being slightly bullied out of the game. But today, that was no problem. He really just found the pockets of space that he needed to and could influence it loads. He was brilliant today, Jimmy J Morgan, and we needed someone to step up, obviously, with Garber out of the side, and Jimmy J did that and some. A fantastic performance in the number 10 position.
Yeah, all those concerns that we had about his physicality and whether he's up for the physical battles of League One football have been quam now, haven't they? Because to jump up against Sam Tickle and win a header, like, Sam Tickle's one of the best goalkeepers in the league. Like, to win a header against any goalkeeper is tough. Then when you factor in Jimmy J's height and the fact that Sam Tickle's the goalkeeper that he is, like, that's pretty incredible. And it was like quick instincts as well. The fact that it was a good attempt at a chip. It would have been a great goal if it went in. But the quick instincts to react to that and then nod it in. Fantastic. And that wasn't the only thing he did. Like you mentioned, Charlie, that other assist he got, the little shimmy he did. Just really good. I was expecting this performance from him regularly, but I do think that Garbutt being in the team with him does hamper him a little bit. So to see Garbutt out of the team, and we don't know how bad his injury is at the moment. It might not be a very long one, but I'll tell you what, we looked good today without Garbutt in the team, which is probably a worrying sight, if anything.
Ooh, I know that we said that we were done talking about Wigan players, but you've mentioned the goalie Tickle, so I'm going to talk about him. I don't think he's very good, and I think that today showed that. I think that he should absolutely have saved Pemi's shot. I think that he should have done better with Jimmy J Morgan's. I actually think that he probably should have done better for both of Kyrie Lisby's first two goals, if we're being totally honest. I will always say that if this is a goalkeeper that is that good, somebody would have signed him. How many years has he been at Wigan now? Is it 3 or 4 years, potentially? If he was as good as people made out that he was, somebody would have signed him, right? So maybe League One is just his natural hunting ground. And what was it, cartwheels that he did a couple of seasons back? What a delight that there wasn't any cartwheels today.
Yeah, and you know what? Just one final comment on the Jimmy J Morgan goal. He gave up on it. That I cannot believe that a League One starting goalkeeper, after it's gone over his head, just lets his body just sag and just stands there. Because had he turned around immediately and tried to follow up, he'd have easily beaten Jimmy J Morgan to it. I think it's a sign of where Wigan are at with what they think of their team, because they're giving up on themselves.
I've just looked. He's actually been there seven years plus his youth career. So he is rooted to League. I didn't realise. I thought he was maybe somebody that they brought in. So yeah, I think that maybe Wigan fans have made him to be more than he is.
Yeah, I agree. He was really bad today. I don't want to take away from any of the goals because I thought they were all good quality. But yeah, for a supposedly top end League One goalkeeper, it was a really terrible display. We've pretty much covered the attackers, but Harry Leonard also deserves a mention. It's actually been a while since we've seen a goal from Harry Leonard, which is rare. And we haven't criticised him for it because of how much he's been contributing all over the pitch. But it was great to see him back on the score sheet today. You love to see your striker getting a goal. And he got one. And it was just, again, a fantastically all-round performance from Harry Leonard. He out-jumped another centre-back much bigger than him for Jimmy J. Morgan's goal. Basically, a replica of the goal at against Bolton. And then his one, he's just in the right place at the right time, isn't he? On that line, wins that header, sticks it in the net. It's what you want to see, and he's just so good. I love watching him play. His hold-up play is brilliant. He drops deep when he needs to, gets involved, gets stuck in. He's not got that sort of ego of, oh, I'm the striker, I stay up the pitch and score goals. He gets back and he digs in with the team, and he's such a good character as well. I look at him and he's so positive all the time, where you've got two types of leaders in football. You've got the type that is going to shout at people and bollock everyone. And then you've got the type that's just constantly picking people up. And Harry Leonard is that player. He's constantly going around and giving people little taps on the back and clapping people. And it's really good. He's such a positive influence. He's got such a great head on his shoulder. Comes across as such a genuinely lovely lad. And it was the same as, you know, we know he's got his little bromance going with Jimmy J. Morgan. And the fact that when JJM assisted him and he went to sit on the advertising boards, Harry Leonard went straight over to Morgan and gave him massive credit for his goal. Brilliant. I'm loving watching Harry Leonard play for the club. What a player he is. And it's just, it's so nice to have a proper striker. Feels like we haven't had one for so long. And Harry Leonard is that and more.
I think there's an interesting comparison to be made on exactly that point, and also bringing Jimmy J back in, that the two most forward central players, this is easily the most playmaking two that I've seen, who do the hard yards around our own box, in our own third at least, and then also have the capability going further forward. You know, Randall and Ricky J. Jones were not doing this. Ricky obviously had a lot of qualities out of possession, was an excellent presser, but we've not seen, and I'm trying to think of who the combination was before these two were here, Brad and, I mean, who was behind Brad at the beginning of this season? I'm forgetting. Was it Chris Conn-Clark? I think he was already out of the squad, but...
It was Donny O'Brien Brady.
Well, and we'll get on to him because he was... Yeah, he was fine today. But the two of them, I think the reason this is working so often under Luke Williams is because of the work those two do that isn't in the final third. It's everywhere else on the pitch. And yeah, we should recognise that and give them credit for it, because there's many, many players who play that far forward do not do the work that these two are doing. Moving on from those two, the last two we haven't talked about, who started the game anyway, are Archie and Donny. And for me, Donny put in a perfectly decent performance. I can't remember who mentioned it on either the last pod or the pod before, that Donny plays too safe too often. I think it was John who said it. Baffling, in my opinion, that he has that view. Donny is regularly trying through balls. And today, early on, really nice ball over the top out towards the left. I think he's just getting better at being measured. And he actually takes chances going forward that Archie doesn't. It didn't all come off today, but that was a perfectly serviceable performance from Donny. And actually, we lost a little bit of the control in the midfield when he came off and Keller came on. Because I don't think Keller was quite as well positioned for what Wigan were trying to do in the beginning of the second half. Although, granted, Keller did do some good stuff towards the end of the game. And Archie was really good, but we've got to mention it. Totally a penalty, right? When he had both hands on the shirt of whichever player it was, falls to the floor, and then he's basically rolling his arm up and down the ball before grabbing his back in pain, because I've definitely been fouled, ref, I promise you. It was two penalties. Holding on with both hands and then handballing it on the floor. It's a good job it didn't get called, because I think it might have been 3-2 if that penalty had gone in. Outside of that, though, Archie was excellent.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, we don't really talk about the ref when we win, even if they're bad. And the ref today was shocking. I mean, he missed probably two Stonewall Wigan penalties and definitely a Stonewall Posh penalty as well on Harry Leonard in front of the GH. And yeah, really weird. Just didn't have the bottle needed to blow the whistle in the penalty area, which, you know, should be able to do as a League One ref. It was an absolute massive penalty when Archie Collins basically did breaststroke over the ball after falling down on the floor. But I thought he was great today, Archie. I love Archie Collins. I'm in such a positive mood tonight. And the one thing that is sort of sad is that we have to try and replace this guy potentially in the summer, because I genuinely don't know what League One midfielder you're going to get that is just so good across all metrics. Just fantastic. He controls the game. He dominates pretty much any midfield he comes up against. Today, he just kept the tempo calm. He kept us calm. And he, you know, had a couple of great moments going forward as well. That lung-busting run down the right-hand side where he then laid it to Frith, who did something crazy with it. He's such a pleasure to watch, and we are not going to be able to sign a direct replacement for Archie Collins. We just have to accept that, and we just have to enjoy the fact that he's going to be here for the next 6 months. And I think in recent years, we've always been disappointed by players in their last year of the contract. You know, we've made the decision to keep a player because we think what is more harmful to the football club, having to try and replace this player and not being able to, or not getting the money for them. And we've been made to look a bit stupid with these decisions recently. You know, Kyprianou, even Poku to an extent with his injury. Archie Collins is one of those where we can never deny that keeping him for this last year has been worth it, because he's just been so good this season. And today was just another fantastic performance from him.
Yeah, he's not a glamorous player, is he? I think that's probably the reason why we're not discussing him as being worth like millions of pounds. And it's probably why we didn't sell him in the summer, because you can't sell a non-glamorous player for millions of pounds. And then when you weigh up how much we can get for him, it's probably worth just keeping him. I would say I'm glad you covered that run he did towards the end of the game, Charlie, because I was really impressed with that. That's something you don't really see a lot from Archie, driving with the ball. But to do it at that stage of the game when, you know, most players are normally quite tired, to get the ball from, we were under pressure at that point, weren't we? And he basically carried it 40 yards and alleviated all the pressure. It was actually the first time as well that I've heard the fans singing the song about wanting to keep him. Archie Collins, we want you to stay. It's the first time I've heard that as well. Brandon Keller come off the bench, really good energy, bursting forward. He set up that Pemmy goal. And I do want to talk about the Pemmy goal, because it was something that I said during the week. I wanted Pemmy to come on in a game where we were 3 goals up so he could get a goal and hopefully bring his confidence levels up so he can then, you know, come off the bench and get more goals in the future and not have that pressure of, I haven't scored a goal yet, maybe I'm not good enough. And he's done it. That's exactly what's happened. I wasn't expecting it to happen this soon, but I'm really glad that we brought him on. I was gutted, actually, that Declan Frith had an opportunity to square it to him when Declan Frith first came off the bench, and he didn't. He had a shot, and I was really gutted because I wanted Pemmy to have a shot. But he got his opportunity, and he was taken really well. It was really good. Sort of, he just peeled off, didn't he? Peeled off into the space, and then normally a striker would probably touch it towards goal, but he sort of knew where the defender was coming, and he took that touch just past him to open up. And I think it's quite harsh on Sam Tickle saying that he should have saved it. I thought it was a decent finish. And when you're in that position, you can go anywhere, can't you? So it's difficult for a goalkeeper to react that quick. I do think it was a good finish from Pemmy, and I'm glad he's opened his goal scoring.
Yeah, I think the reason Tickle's come under criticism is the fact that he got quite a substantial hand to it. And if he just had been a bit stronger or a bit quicker to his position, he should have saved it. It wasn't the most like powerful. It's not as if Pemmy rifled it into the bottom of the net. But I thought he was, you know, struggling to make an impact at times, but to get a goal will do him the world of good confidence-wise. I loved seeing him and Sykut come on earlier on. We talk about these players a lot, especially Sykut, and to see them involved for such a sustained period of the game is brilliant. It's exactly what you want to see at this time in the season, really. We are now, you know, potentially in mid-table obscurity with an eye up above us, maybe half an eye a quarter of an eye. I'm sure Darren McAntony's still got a little bit. He's squinting at the playoffs, but I think we have got a chance, but we also need to use this time to start looking at players for next season. These are supposedly players that are going to be big parts of the squad. And the fact that Pemmi's come on, his first touch was superb. That's what the making of the goal is for me. It's not a fantastic finish, but his first touch and his body shape is brilliant and allows him to basically do whatever he wants. And the finish was, you know, if it goes in, it's a decent enough finish. And that's what it did. And it was a great moment to see all the players running and bundling on him. A fantastic moment for him, and he's worked really hard apparently on the training ground, and obviously had a great loan spell at Eastbourne Borough, so he's becoming a bit prolific as Pemmi, and it's great to see.
Yeah, look, I've been absolutely itching to say that the finish wasn't as good as it could have been, but it couldn't have been any better, could it? Because the ball hit the back of the net, and I don't want Loz to smoke me after he said that Jimmy J. Morgan's was a bad finish. So I've been waiting patiently for my time. And Loz has just put in the comments that D-Max said on Hard Truth, didn't he, that we've got Pemmi signing a new contract. So, look, Harry, all the way back to the retained release list last year, I think you were the only one that said to keep him. And now we're going to keep him for even longer. So what a shout that is.
There you go. What did I say about David Kamara? I can't remember.
Anything to keep Kamara away from the squad.
For those who are not regular listeners, I'm getting grilled here for a... All I said was that Pemmi was probably more suited for the first team than David Kamara was. And Charlie's run with it ever since. Right. There was one more player personnel talking point. Matty Garbutt was seen wearing a boot in advance of the game. Do we know how long he's out for yet? Has there been any reveals from our manager in the interview? I haven't seen it yet.
No, he's been very coy as usual, and we don't know. Originally, I was very concerned. It sounds like he could have played, but he's in too much pain or something. I don't know. Honestly, we're not going to get a clear prognosis on that. To be honest, what I read into it, which obviously may not be correct, is that maybe the club don't know the extent to which he's injured yet. But I think it's safe to say that we definitely won't see him at Mansfield midweek, which, listen, you probably wouldn't. Let's say he started on the bench today. You probably wouldn't change the starting 11 anyway. So it's not a massive loss in the short term. I'm just really hoping that this isn't a long-term thing. You know, you think if he's out for the season, he got the World Cup in the summer, it'll be heartbreaking for him if it's a long-term injury. But Dara supposedly replaced the cracked mirror in his house, so I don't know why we're even still getting injuries. I thought we'd be fully fit all the time from now, but apparently not. It's a real shame. He's a massive player for us, Matty Garbutt. And although he's not been in the most flying form recently, it's not going to help us with any sort of ambitions we have to climb the table if we can't name him consistently. So let's hope he's fit again soon. But we didn't really miss him today, which is the good thing. But we will start to miss him, I think, in the near future if it's a long-term thing.
Yeah, it just feels like that revolving door never stops. And whether this is a contact injury or like a ligament injury, we don't know, do we? All that we know is that he was wearing a moon boot. And what happens under those moon boots, we will never know. So fingers crossed, it's just a case of get your foot up for a week or two and then we can go from there. Because like Charlie says, is that he's an important player, isn't he? Even when he's not at his best. We saw last weekend against Huddersfield that he had a positive impact on the game. So hopefully we can get back to that and get him back fit.
Yeah, there's no world in which we don't want Matty Garbutt available, right? He's pretty key. And Woods is still out. If Donne or Archie or Keller get injured from here, it's looking thin in the middle of the park. Well, let's hope Matty Garbutt isn't out for too long. I think the last talking point from today is some of the shenanigans in the GH, which we all are delighted to see that it's almost selling out. E3, E4, and I think E5 as well. Not a single seat going, only a smattering in the corner towards the family stand. And you know what? Credit to the blue section, who have done a really good job of bringing a good, like, positive atmosphere in there. But unfortunately, based on some of the pictures we're seeing, the back wall pounders have potentially let themselves down a little bit here today.
Yeah, look, I totally agree. And there's nothing that I like more than watching and seeing a full GH on a match day. And I think that there's no argument that the blue section have taken a few steps back. But unfortunately, the backwall pounders today have just made it and tried to make it all about them. And there were times today where I was massively embarrassed for them, not just like the blue section. And they've got lower numbers. There's no arguing that. But these lot at the back, you know, the backwall pounders, let's call them what they are, right? They are not supporting the team. They are more interested in getting their Snapchat stories, getting their TikToks done, goading the away fans. And that's not what the blue section are about. So yes, E3 through to five sold out today. Fingers crossed the Port Vale game that where we have the London Road End closed goes well and everybody enjoys that. But yeah, today from the backwall pounders was just absolutely embarrassing.
Yeah, like I've always been of the belief that people can go to football and enjoy it how they want to. And I get there's people that go that want to chant at away fans and they don't really watch what goes on the pitch. They're more interested in funny songs that they come up with in their heads that is normally extremely salacious about opposition goalkeepers. But you've got the blue section and they're obviously trying their hardest to create an atmosphere. And the backwall pounders are singing songs about posh and the blue section are joining in. That's fine. But then when the blue section are trying to sing songs, there's just a bit of a disrespect from the backwall pounders. Like, there was a song that they started to sing towards the end and the drum at the back was just drumming like really loud over the top, like basically trying to cover up that they were singing, but they were singing about posh. Like, I just don't understand why they would be against that. Like, they're supporting the team. And there were so many times, like Ash has just alluded to it there, where they were singing songs directly to the blue section. And granted, it wasn't all of them. They had a lot of them at the back there. And it wasn't all of them that were singing, but you could hear clearly that they were singing about blue section, not singing songs, not making any noise. And it's just no need for it. And then when you factor in the damage to the seats, which again won't be all of them, I'm sure it's a minority of that group. But they're just going to ruin it for everyone. The club have been really supportive over the GH. There's been such a great campaign, like to go from where we were at the beginning of last season to now, to be able to basically sell the stand out and have like people like begging to be able to buy season tickets in that stand. The club will just take it away from us if we can't behave. And that's all of us. Like, whether you go to watch the football for reason X or reason Y or reason Z, you've just got to behave, like adhere to the rules, because you're just going to ruin it for everyone otherwise. And it's really, really frustrating that, you know, we're still having to talk about these minorities that are going to ruin it for everyone.
Yeah, and I think the most frustrating thing is that that's now 2 weeks running that there's been a scene in the GH. Charlie, I'm sure that we mentioned it, didn't we, on a countdown to kickoff, that it's been relatively squeaky clean in the GH, hasn't it, for the whole season. There's been none of the flares. Obviously, there was the day of the Northampton game where stuff was being thrown on the pitch. But outside of that, last weekend, Tobba getting himself chucked out. This weekend, the backwall pounders smashing up the seats. So you just don't want to bring it down and bring it back, because the London Road End lot, I don't have a, for want of a better name, are going to lap this up massively. If anything comes from the club or there's anybody talking about it, they're going to absolutely love every second of it and go, well, you can't be trusted, so why would we switch end? And that's all down to the backwall pounders.
Yeah, this is the thing. There is such a microscope on the GH at the moment and on everyone in the GH. The behaviour has to be literally pristine if we want to get, you know, the thing we want next season tickets in there. It's going to have to be perfect. And I just don't know where this has come from. It seems like the backwall pounders are just obsessed with trying to create this civil war in the GH. And I can't abide by it. Like, I probably nibbled way too much on Twitter in the opening sort of week. One of the leaders of, you know, that group were putting just really horrible stuff out about the people at the bottom. And some of the stuff that members of the backwall pounders have messaged me about people in the blue section, like really just horrible things that just unnecessarily personal. And I'm just getting really, really fed up of it. I think we're all here for the same reason, or at least we should all be here for the same reason, which is to support the club. I have been, you know, I don't want to call myself a pioneer or anything, but for literally years, especially Ash and I have been putting out so much in favour of the GH and really advocating for the GH and speaking to people at the club about it. And it just feels like this new group, which there was never a division before. It was like, oh, everyone get in the GH, bring your mates, it's fine. And then all of a sudden, the Backwall Pounders have just decided that they want to send it completely off the scales and they just want to make it this big competitive thing. And it's not that. Listen, the Backwall Pounders can keep their area and they can, you know, pound that back wall as much as they want. But the blue section have a place in that stand too, with the flags and the display they did for the Northampton game. And the longer that this goes on, it's just going to end up, as you said, Ash, giving the people that just want to find any way they can bash the GH, it's just going to give them much more ammunition and ultimately be massively detrimental to the cause.
Indeed. Well said. Let's hope that weeks from now, or next season, we get some unity and that there's no strife between people who are just coming for the day, blue section, Backwall Pounders. It's all one happy family. All right, I think we're there. We will be back for CTK before the Mansfield game on Monday night. Not a place that we have done well in recent seasons. Let's hope we can turn it around there. But with that, I think we're there. Thank you very much for listening. As always, please like, subscribe and comment. Were you in the GH today? What did you think of the atmosphere? Let us know. But with that, up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast. Up the Poshcast and down the back.